ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्रीमद् भागवतम Canto 1, Chapter 18, Text 48. Tiraskrita Vipalabdha. Am I right? No, it's 48. Tiraskrita Vipalabdha Sapta Chipta Hata api nasya tat pratikuryanti tat bhakta prabhavo pihi tiraskrita vipralabdha saptakshipta hata api Nasyatat pratikurvanti tadbhakta prabhavopihi tiraskrita vipralabdha saptachipta hata api nasyatat pratikurvanti Tadbhakta Prabhupihi Tiraskrita Vipralabdha Sapta Chipta Hata Api Nasyatat Pratikurvanti Tadbhakta Prabhupihi Raskita Vipralabdha Sapta Chipta Hata Api Nasyatat Pratikurvanti Tadvakta Prabhavopi Raskita Vipralabdha Sapta Chipta Ata Api Tasya Kat Bhavati Kurvanti Tat Bhakta Prabhavo Pihi Tiraskita Vipralabdha Sapta Chipta Ata Api Nasya Tat Prati Kurvanti Tad bhakta prabhavo pihi Tiraskrita vipralabdha Sapta chipta hata api Nasyatat pratikurvanti Tad bhakta prabhavo pihi Tiraskrita vipralabdha Sapta chipta ta api Nasyatat pratikurvanti Tadbhakta prabhavopi Matajis Tiraskita vipralabdha Sapta chipta ta api Nasyatat pratikurvanti Tadbhakta prabhavopi Tiraskrita Being defamed Vipralabdha Being cheated Sapta Being cursed Chipta Disturbed by negligence. Hata or even being killed. Api also. Na never. Asya for all these acts. Tat them. Pratigurvanti counteract. Tat the Lord's. Bhakta devotees. Prabhava powerful. Api although. He certainly. Translation. The devotees of the Lord are so forbearing that even though they are defamed, cheated, cursed, disturbed, neglected, or even killed, they are never inclined to avenge themselves. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Rishi Samika also knew that the Lord does not forgive a person who has committed an offense at the feet of a devotee. The Lord can only give direction to take shelter of the devotee. He thought within himself that if Maharaj Parikshit would counter-curse the boy, he might be saved. But he knew also that a pure devotee is callous about worldly advantages or reverses. As such, the devotees are never inclined to counteract personal defamation, curses, negligence, etc. As far as such things are concerned in personal affairs, the devotees do not care for them. But in the case of their being performed against the Lord and his devotees, then the devotees take very strong action. It was a personal affair, and therefore Samika Rishi knew that the king would not take counteraction. Thus, there was no alternative plan to place an appeal to the Lord for the immature boy. It is not that only the Brahmins are powerful enough to award curses or blessings upon the subordinates. The devotee of the Lord, even though he may not be a Brahmin, is more powerful than a Brahmin. But a powerful devotee never misuses the power for personal benefit. Whatever power the devotee may have is always utilized in service towards the Lord and his devotees only. Tiraskriti vipalabdha sapta chipta hata api nasya tat pratikurvanti tat bhakta prabhavo pihi. The devotees of the Lord are so forbearing that even though they are defamed, cheated, cursed, disturbed, neglected, or even killed, they are never inclined to avenge themselves. Om ajnana tamirandasya jnananjana shalakaya chaksur unmiritam jena tasmai sri gurave namah. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto his lotus feet. So here, the explanation is given that even though the devotee may be defamed, neglected, or even killed, just like in the case of Lord Jesus Christ, he was on the cross, and he said, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." This is devotee of the Lord. That he's not angered or taking revenge, trying to avenge himself against the curse of another or being put into difficulty by another. And we see that in our own Vaishnava Shastra, in the case of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. He was going out on the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to preach everywhere and anywhere, himself and Haridas Thakur. And he was going to one place where there were two rascals Jugai and Madai. I'm sorry?
Is there a painting? Or?
Something. Archit is pointing to the heavens.
Okay.
Oh, and I can't reach there. I thought he was pointing to God. They do in a... Sometimes in a football game when they score 6 points or a field goal, then they point up to God. I thought Archita was also... So, Jagai and Madai were the worst rascals. They were drunkards, woman hunters, dacoits, thieves, plunderers. So much so, I heard a story from a lecture once by Jayapataka Maharaj, that they used to go to the town. They were in Navadvip. And there used to be a beggar, blind beggar, with his daughter there, begging for some coins. And Jagai and Madai were such demons, even today, who would think of such a thing? They stole the money from the blind man and sexually attacked the daughter, raped the daughter. This is Jagai and Madai. These were really, really bad guys. And Nityananda Prabhu thought, as he was going and doing his Harinam Samkirtan, that if I deliver these two famous rascals, then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, Lord Chaitanya himself, will be glorified as such a great soul. And so he approached them, and they were extremely upset, to say the least. And they actually chased Nityananda Prabhu and tried to attack him personally. But the devotee, being determined, unafraid, and not concerned with his own bodily welfare, Nityananda Prabhu went back the next day. And at that time, immediately upon seeing them, I think it was Jagai, took a piece of clay pot. Madhai. I'm sorry. Thank you, Maharaj. My error. Madhai took a piece of clay pot and hurled it very forcefully at Nityananda, so much so that blood was pouring profusely from his head. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu wasn't disturbed, as it states here in the purport. The devotee is not disturbed. That didn't mean anything to him. That doesn't affect him much. But when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu found out, he came there to the scene to destroy the demons with his Sudarshan disc. But Nityananda Prabhu reminded him that your mission, Lord, is to save the fallen souls. Patita Pavana. You're here to save the fallen conditioned souls and deliver them. And if you have to kill him, then you have to kill everyone. Because everyone is sinful in this Kali Yuga. I think there was some pastime like that in Prabhupada's time, Prabhupada Leela, that Prabhupada was told this one person, he's causing so much disturbance, Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, what do you want to do? He said, we have to throw him out. And then Prabhupada looked and said, then I would have to throw all of you out. Because in Kali Yuga, and in even for ourselves, we're all fallen. We're all very fallen. One devotee, sannyasi, used to come up and whisper in the devotee's ears at Guru Puja, Mangal Arti, I'm very fallen. He would come up and whisper, I'm very fallen. And I thought, that's actually very interesting. He was sannyasi. He was very advanced devotee. He's still advanced devotee. But his attitude was, I'm very fallen. Please forgive me, I'm very fallen. So, Nityananda Prabhu reminded Lord Chaitanya, you can't, don't kill this Madai and Jagai. Jagai already was taking shelter of Lord Nityananda. And then the Madai also took shelter. And Lord Chaitanya told him, yes, but you must give up all your sinful activities. Engage in pure devotional service. And even I think today, if you go in Navadvip, isn't it, Prabhu? There's temple of Jagai and Madai, isn't it? You don't know? Savas, there's temple of Jagai and Madai? Yeah, right there in Navadvip. They became great devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, this is the mood of the Vaishnava. That someone is offending, but it's not their fault that they're offending. They're being pushed and pulled by the modes of material nature. And that devotee is chama. One excuses and forgives. The devotee has the quality of chama. Forgive and excuse. Tolerate and excuse. This is not artificially, but actually the devotee is so concerned with devotional service, like Nityananda Prabhu, that he considered this act of violence to just be a trifle, as Maharaj Parikshit considered the curse by Sringi just to be some small thing, even though it was going to take his life in 7 days. It was Krishna's arrangement. So, same thing was there. We were discussing last night. We went, myself and Bhakta Brad, to the National Christian, Hindu-Christian Dialogues. It was a beautiful event at the Sanatana Dharma Temple, I think it was called. Sanatana Dharma Temple in Norwalk. We brought them prasadam, and then we chanted kirtan and explained kirtan to them for a good part of the program. And on the way back, Bhakta Brad read this verse to me. I said, oh, I have to give class tomorrow. It's so late. I didn't even study yet. He read the verse and he said, here's what you say. You use the story of Jagai and Madai. And then he told me this. This is devotee. Even though I was making him, we drove in traffic to get there for 7 o'clock kirtan. We left here at 10 to 5 and got there at 5 minutes to 7, and it's 26 miles away because traffic was so insane. And I apologized for taking him through such torture. He wasn't feeling well. And he said, then after that, you tell the story of Maharaj Ambarish, how he tolerated the curse of Durvasa Muni. So I have to tell that. Bhakta Brad told me, this is what you say. I was very happy. I was like, oh, I don't even have to look it up now. I'll refresh the story, but thank you very much. So, Durvasa Muni had come to the place of Ambarish. Ambarish was practicing the Ekadasi. But his fast was for 1 year. And on the day of Dwadasi, you have to break the fast at a certain time. I think we announce it every Dwadasi. Break fast is at such and such time. You have to break the fast by then. So Maharaj Ambarish had been fasting so heavily, not even drinking water, near Jala, for such a long time. But Durvasa came with all of his disciples, and the etiquette is that when a Brahmin comes, saintly person comes, you have to give him prasadam first. But he said, let me go wash by the body of water, and then when I return, I'll honor prasad. So, the great Rajarishi, what's his name again? Ambarish Maharaj. Savai mana Krishna Paravindayo Vaichamsi Vaikunta Gunanuvarnane Karau Hare Mandara Marjanadishu Chakrachuta Satkatodaye Kamam Chadasyena Tukama Kamyaya Yototo Mashloka Janashraya Rati. Maharaj Ambarish was such a great devotee. He utilized everything in Krishna's service. He utilized his head, not for his own sense gratification, but for bowing down to the Lord. His eyes were used to see the deity of the Lord and the devotees of the Lord. His ears were used for the hearing the vibration of the chanting of Hare Krishna and the stories, pastimes of Lord Krishna. His tongue was used to taste Krishna prasadam only and to vibrate Krishna katha. He was such a great devotee. This is actually in Srimad Bhagavatam described to be the method, the practical method, yatoto mashloka janashraya rati, for attaining spiritual advancement, following the footsteps of Maharaj Ambarish. But Ambarish, this time for Dwadasi was ending, and Durvasa was not back from his bathing with his disciples. So he was supposed to break the fast. He went to his Brahminical advisors. They said, take water, because if you take the water, it'll be breaking the fast, but it won't be breaking the fast. So he took water, but Maharaj Durvasa Muni, being a yogi, he knew that this king has taken some prasad, water, pani, before my returning. So he came back, he was so angered, he pulled a hair from his head and created one demon to terrorize this Maharaj Ambarish. But Ambarish Maharaj was not afraid, just like Maharaj Parikshit was not afraid of the curse of Sringi. So Ambarish was not afraid at the curse of Durvasa Muni, because he knew that Krishna's in my heart and he will save me. That Krishna will protect me. Krishna is my only protector. Krishna is my only savior. Krishna is my only object of worship. He was a surrendered soul. who saw Krishna in every respect, the personality of Godhead. And Krishna appeared there with his Sudarshan disc and hurled it at Durva. At first he destroyed the demon that was harassing. Then he hurled it at Durvas, and Durvas was fleeing like anything. He went to Brahma. Brahma said, "I can't help you. You've offended a devotee." He went to Shiva. Shiva said, "It's beyond me. I can't do anything for you. Go to Lord Narayan." He went to Narayan. And Lord Narayan said, "Sarunam ridayam tvaham, sarunam ridayam, sarunam ridayam aham. Devotees are in my heart, and I am in their heart, and they know nothing but me, and I know nothing but them." This was the response of Lord Narayan. "I can't help you. You've offended Maharaj Ambarish. You have to go back and get forgiven by Maharaj Ambarish. Otherwise, I can't stop this Sudarshan Chakra. I can't even help you." This is Lord Narayan. "Devotees are in my heart. I'm in their heart. They know nothing but me." And Lord Narayan said, "I know nothing but the devotees of the Lord. That's all I know." So he went back and surrendered to Ambarish Maharaj. And this story, as Bhakta Brad was pointing out, is a perfect example how the devotee doesn't care, real devotee, like Maharaj Pariksha, like Ambarish Maharaj, like Lord Nityananda, doesn't care for the curse or the violence, like Lord Jesus Christ, doesn't care for the offense of those that they're preaching to, because the business is the preaching. The one lady asked us last night, I said, "Is there any question about chanting?" So one Christian lady said that somehow she changed the subject completely. Said, "First time I met the Hare Krishnas was at an airport and they were following me everywhere." I said, "Please forgive us. We didn't mean to harass you, but sometimes," I told her, "that I personally was on a team with different devotees that were sent to train persons in the airports in the 70s. And we were meant to be gentlemen and ladies. Srila Prabhupada wanted us to be perfect gentlemen and perfect ladies. That people would be struck upon seeing the devotees that I've met such a wonderful person. But sometimes," I said, "our devotees," and Srila Prabhupada has said it, "were a little bit overzealous, a little bit too eager. And we don't do that anymore, specifically at the airport. Mostly we're in different booths." I explained to her, "We're going to the Academy of Religion next week, the American Academy of Religion. We have a booth there to present Srila Prabhupada's books. There's a plan. Judhakarma Prabhu will be coming with his BBT science books. We'll have Srila Prabhupada's books and sets of books. We have to discuss with Srivas Prabhu now that he's come back. Bienvenido a New Dwarka." That's Sanskrit for "welcome back to New Dwarka." Those of you who are born in that part of Sanskrit-speaking country. That we give the professors sets of Srimad Bhagavatam, just like the Jagai and Madai, whether they like it or not. If Bhagavatam is in their home, is in their office, is in their school, they'll be transformed. So we have a plan to give dozens and dozens of sets of Bhagavatams. We have to discuss later. We're not going to carry them there, but to send them out, to get the names and send them out like Motel Gita to professors of religion all over the country. So I explained to her that we're going to, and then, I'm going to the American Academy. And then this Christian priest and this different Christian authority and everyone, please come and see us. We'll have cookies or ladu. I even explained to them the story of when we went for a trade show in Oklahoma a few years back. I think Archita was there. Maybe not. And we were giving out burfi. So I was telling the professors from Oklahoma that please take some of our burfi. So one big Oklahoman, Texan professor with a cowboy hat and a big belt came by and I said, would you like some burfi, sir? He said, I ain't gonna eat no bird seed. I'll take a little of your candy, but I'm not interested in bird seed. Is that what it is? So I said, no, in Sanskrit, it's called burfi, B-U-R-F-Y. He said, oh, I thought you said bird seed. So I told them, please come by our booth. We'll have prasadam. We'll have books. We'll have calendars as gifts. And this was the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Even people criticize, I met you guys, you were so zealous. You were so anxious. They followed me all over the airport. I really don't believe anyone followed this old lady around the airport. Maybe they approached her and another person approached her later. And it was a little zealous. But for the devotees, we try to be very humble. And at the same time, devotees even asked. One devotee girl asked Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, you said that the women are supposed to be so chaste and quiet and we go on Sankirtan, we're approaching people and we're running all over giving people Srila Prabhupada's books. And Prabhupada said, yes, you should be a lion on the chase and a lamb at home. He told another devotee in India one time, a British devotee, Tribhuvanath, you should have the courage of an Englishman, but the heart of a Bengali mother. I don't know exactly what the heart of a Bengali mother is, but I think what we've learned about Mother Sachi, that the heart of a Bengali mother is so caring and nurturing and so wonderful. And the courage of an Englishman in those days of yore, the English were the courageous conquerors of the world, I guess, maybe in the early 1900s. So Prabhupada said, have the courage of an Englishman and the heart of a Bengali mother. So, for the devotee, as stated in this verse, we have to be very tolerant. And even in the face of death. Even someone is challenging us with death. But for another devotee, and for the Lord Himself, the other devotee becomes like fire. If I see someone is harassing one of my God brothers, you're finished. Even I'm a cripple. That does not matter. I can still kick with four toes. Devotee becomes like fire when he sees, she sees another Vaishnavi offended. One person in Dallas, he was a manager of a terminal. And he used to harass the devotees so bad. One Mataji was new. She was giving flowers with a little pin. He took the flower and took it off of himself and stuck the pin in the shoulder of the devotee woman. I don't know how hurt she was. It was only a pin, but it was a great offense. For herself, she didn't retaliate, as stated here in the verse. For the Vaishnavs, myself and the temple commander, we found out where this guy lived. We found out his address, his phone number. Somehow, the temple commander found out his kids' names. And this guy got such harassment that evening. He didn't know it was devotees. But he had some pizzas delivered that he didn't order. Cheese pizza. He had different anything we could think of. I think they even sent in the morning a cement truck to pour cement on his lawn. I can't even remember. Devotees become like fire, so much so that this manager of the airport went back and begged the girl for forgiveness. He said, God, we were in Texas, he said, God has punished me for offending you. Please forgive me. And he never harassed the devotees again. He was terrible. He used to harass devotees in so many ways. So this isn't a class to tell you how to harass people that go. Don't come to me personally, we'll discuss it. But devotee becomes like fire when they see another devotee. We don't tolerate seeing another devotee put into difficulty. But for ourselves, we can tolerate anything. That is Kshama. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga.
Mm-hmm.